Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
The global number of deaths due to COVID-19 this year have already surpassed 2020's toll. Plus, consumer demand is driving inflation to its highest level in 13 years.
The trillion-dollar question is this a temporary phenomenon or a long-term one?
We'll have more on what it means for the recovery and why holograms are beaming into the workplace. It's Thursday, June 10th. I'm Anne-Marie Fratoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Around the world, more people have died this year of COVID-19 than in the entirety of 2020. According to a Wall Street Journal analysis of data collected by Johns Hopkins University, more than 1.88 million COVID-19 deaths were recorded in the first 6 months of this year, surpassing last year's death toll. But there is a worsening divide between developed and developing countries. In Western nations, including the U.S., Canada, and the U.K., mass vaccination efforts have brought the caseloads and death toll down. Meanwhile, Latin America and parts of Asia are seeing higher death tolls amid new strains that scientists believe are more transmissible. We report exclusively that the U.S. government has halted shipments of Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine in an effort to clear a backlog of unused doses before they expire. That's according to state and federal health officials. Just over half of the about 21 million J&J doses have yet to be administered, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Hospital and state officials say that's in part an unintended consequence of a temporary suspension in administering the shots, while health officials investigated a rare blood clot risk. Meanwhile, drug maker Moderna is seeking authorization in the U.S. for its COVID-19 vaccine for kids ages 12 to 17. It would be the second vaccine authorized for use in adolescents after Pfizer's. Both companies are also studying use of their vaccines in children younger than 12 and said this week that initial results from testing could be available by the fall. Nuclear negotiations between the U.S. and Iran remain stalled, but today the Treasury Department lifted sanctions on more than a dozen former Iranian officials and energy companies. U.S. officials say the step signals Washington's commitment to easing a pressure campaign on Iran if Tehran changes its behavior. But U.S. authorities have levied new sanctions against a group of men and companies they believe are helping to fund Iran's blacklisted military unit, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, and Houthi rebels in Yemen. The U.S. is preparing for a sixth round of negotiations to restore the 2015 nuclear deal with Iran and other major powers. And an EU regulator is proposing fining Amazon more than $425 million for violating the bloc's laws against the collection and use of personal data. A person familiar with the matter said the case relates to alleged violations of the EU's General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR. If agreed upon by other EU privacy regulators, the fine would be the largest penalty to date under the privacy law. A spokesman for Amazon declined to comment. The company has previously said it complies with the law in all countries where it operates, and that the privacy of its customers is a priority. Coming up, inflation is surging, but is it running too hot?
Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. By empowering the brightest minds, GE Aerospace is reimagining engine design and advanced aircraft systems, developing hybrid electric engines and technologies compatible with alternative fuels like sustainable aviation fuel. GE Aerospace strives every day to invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
Consumer demand for all sorts of goods and services is soaring. In May, consumer prices rose 5% compared to the same time a year earlier. That sent the inflation rate to its highest level in nearly 13 years. And the Federal Reserve is watching all of this closely. Joining me now to talk more about what the rise in inflation means for the economy and monetary policy is Wall Street Journal senior writer John Hilzenrath. Hi, John. Thanks for being here.
Hi there. Happy to be here.
So, John, tell us just how significant this rise in inflation is. Put it in context for us.
Well, I would say it's significant and it's also confusing. So it's significant because, as you said in your introduction, this is the largest rise since we've seen since the last financial crisis. There's another category that a lot of economists look at, which is consumer prices, excluding food and energy, which are very volatile. And that increased by almost 4%, which was the largest rise since the early 1990s. So yeah, this should get your attention. So that's the significant part. But the confusing part is, you know, the economy is in a state of a lot of flux right now. You know, we're in the middle of a reopening. A lot of restaurants and auto dealers and airlines and hotels and you name it are trying to get their processes back up and running again. And that's leading to bottlenecks that are showing up in the form of higher prices, but might not necessarily stay that way. And then the other complication is, you know, you mentioned they're up 5% from a year ago. Well, a year ago, we were in the middle of a pandemic and prices were under a lot of downward pressure. So the comparison to a year ago was also complicated. So this is an important moment, but it's a moment that is going to take a little while to sort out and get through.
So what can you tell us about how much this rise has to do with regaining what we lost during the pandemic, or are we seeing other factors at play?
You know, and there's a sense that, well, when we get back to normal, inflation will settle down. But there's, I hate this term, but I'll use it. What's the new normal? Some of it is going to unwind, but some of it might not. You know, some industries are never going to be the same. What's the movie theater industry going to look like after this? What is video streaming? What are car rentals and airlines and hotels going to look like when we get back to some new state of normal? We don't know. And that's why we don't know what the right price level is going to be.
Let's talk about big ticket items. We're seeing higher prices for cars. What's happening there?
Yeah, you know, that's another good example of the dislocations we're seeing from an economy that's closed down and then starts up again. And there are a lot of things going on there. One is that there are these global chip shortages, which has forced the automakers to slow their production of new vehicles because they can't get their hands on the chips they need to put in the vehicles. And because the new vehicle prices, not only are new vehicle prices up, but production is slowing, people are turning to used cars. And used car costs are, excuse the pun, but they're going through the roof. They were up 30% in May from a year ago, up 7% from the month before. And used cars were a very big part of the story of what happened in the month of May. They accounted for something like a third of the overall monthly increase. And yeah, that's part because of these bottlenecks we're seeing peculiar to the auto industry. And the, you know, the other thing that we have to point to is something economists call pent-up demand. People were locked down a year ago. We've been stuck in our homes for 12 months and they want to get out and enjoy life a little bit, going to restaurants and buying cars. And this pent-up demand is also pushing up prices. The trillion-dollar question is this a temporary phenomenon or a long-term one?
What about food prices? This is another volatile category here, but both at restaurants and the grocery store.
So you have to draw a distinction between the food you pay for in a grocery store and the food you pay for in a restaurant. And this is an important part of the story. So while the food we pay for in the grocery store didn't rise very much last month, eating out at restaurants was actually up 4% from a year ago. Again, you know, people are coming out, pent-up demand. Reopening is happening in this really kind of lumpy way. Restaurants are having a hard time getting their hands on the workers they need. And so the inflation rate for restaurant food is more than twice the inflation rate for grocery store food in the month of May because of the uneven way this is playing out.
John, one of the big questions markets and investors are looking at, how might this rise impact the Federal Reserve and whether or not they take more action here?
So when the crisis happened, the Fed responded very quickly and very aggressively. They pushed short-term interest rates to near zero. They went out and launched bond buying programs. They started buying treasury bonds and mortgage bonds. And the whole goal was to bring down the cost of borrowing for short-term three-month loans or for long-term 30-year loans. And the question is, how and when is the Fed going to pull all this back? And you know, their mindset at the beginning of the year was that, listen, inflation is very low. In fact, it's been below the Fed's 2% goal for almost a decade, and they could afford to let the economy run hot for a little while to bring it back. Well, now it looks like it might be coming back a little bit more quickly than they expected. So what we expect to happen is they've got a meeting coming up in a week, and we expect them to start talking about when and how they unwind all these easy money policies. Now, when the Fed starts talking about it, that doesn't mean it's going to happen right away. That's still something that's probably going to play out, you know, really slowly as the year proceeds. But if these numbers keep coming in above the Fed's expectations, they might have to speed up the process. For now, the Fed's model, their view of the world is that a lot of these inflation increases we're seeing are temporary and they're going to settle down. So if they settle down, the Fed can be patient. If they don't settle down, then the Fed might have to, as they say, pull the punch bowl from the party a little bit sooner.
That's Wall Street Journal senior writer John Hilzenrath. John, thanks so much for your insights today.
Sure thing. My pleasure.
And finally, Zoom fatigue has become a pretty common complaint in workplaces. Now, companies like Google, WeWork, and Microsoft are trying to beat it with a different technology, holograms. Backers say beaming three-dimensional images feels more personal and makes it easier to read body language. Here's our reporter, Anne-Marie Alcantara.
Some experts I've spoken to have said that this technology might be best for, you know, companies who want to do all hands meetings or, you know, do a webinar, something that's, you know, can be recorded or just feels like a special moment where you do want to connect with your employees versus like a one-off, you know, Google Meet or Zoom Hangout where you don't necessarily need to see your boss or whoever it is in a 3D form to know what they're trying to say to you.
And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.